Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie. And fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now, you're multitasking. But what if you could also be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. So multitask right now. Get your quote now at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Guys, we've had a lot of good teams around here. All right, a lot of talented teams, just like this one. All right, but the character of this team these last 2 weeks, and we felt it through that whole game, and I can't thank everyone in this room enough, man. All right, hats off to all you guys. Hey, guys, honestly, guys, we started off in the third quarter, and we didn't get a touchdown, and we got a field goal. I was like, all right, like, this is going to be tough. We know we set out to get to here. We know how short we were last year. We know how that felt. All right, that's what I was thinking there right there at the end of the second half. Like, man, we cannot go out like this. We waited all year to get to this game. Then we finally got to play a whole game. And we needed the whole game, and we got it done. But as always, this is not the one that we set out to get.
Let's go.
All right, it's not the one we set out to get.
Rare glimpse of Kyle Shanahan without a hat talking to his players. After the NFC Championship,
what a crazy looking there!
Behind historic fashion, that is. I can't get used to seeing him without a hat. Right. Used to seeing him with his hat on the sideline and his headset. You rarely see him in that setting. But back to the Super Bowl, second time since he arrived as head coach in 2017. They want to kick the door in this time around. It's not going to be easy. We got 12 days to go. And oh, by the way, we were just talking before the show about our travel plans. For Viva Las Vegas. I haven't been to Las Vegas since you were like 4 or 5 years old. I was 21. Long time ago. Probably a little different now than it was in 1986.
Yeah.
So I don't know how I feel about going to Las Vegas.
Oh, baby.
I don't know what I'm going to do.
It's going to be amazing.
If I'm even going to go.
It's going to be the hot spot of America. It's first Super Bowl in Vegas. I'm definitely going to drag you to places and make you get drunk and act disorderly. That's what we're going to do. We're going to have fun. It's going to be a great time. I really am excited. And in fact, the last time I was in Vegas was with that guy, actually, that had no hat on right there. That was the last time I was in
Vegas. That when you
Vegas.
Got your tattoos?
No,
your
we didn't do it.
In Vegas?
We didn't do it then, but it's been a while for me, and I want to say the last time I went there, I believe, was Kyle Shanahan's bachelor party, oddly enough. I think that was the last time, which would have been like 2004, 2005, right around that range. So it's been a long time for me too, Mike.
The development of the NFL going to Las Vegas for a week and having the Super Bowl there. I mean, less than 10 years ago, it would have been completely incomprehensible. I remember seeing a report, a suggestion, an idea that maybe the NFL would play an exhibition game at some point in Las Vegas, and I asked the league about it, and it was met with immediate laughter. We'll never play a preseason game or any game in Las Vegas. Remember the Tony Romo fantasy football convention that was going to be staged at a hotel owned by a casino at which there was no gambling on the premises of this specific location. Can't do it. They shut it down. got sued over.
Hilarious.
Because they started squeezing their network talent that had committed to go and players to not show up. You're going to be in violation of the policy if you go there. That was just a couple of years before
timing
the Supreme Court opened the floodgates,
right.
Struck down the rule, struck down the law that had been in place for years that basically confined sports betting to Nevada and kept it from going anywhere else. It's a states' rights issue. States can decide what they're going to do. And then the NFL. And they act like they had no choice but to get involved in gambling. They could still hate gambling. They could still shun gambling. They could still say no thank you to the various official NFL partners that are giving them a bunch of money. They still could. The season began, Lions Chiefs, with Roger Goodell being interviewed by Mike Tirico, and he acted like they had no choice but to be in this space. You have a choice. You don't have to. You don't have. You can say it's legal, but we hate it. There are plenty of things that are legal that people stay away from. Mustard is legal, and I'll never eat it in my entire life, knowingly. Sometimes they slip it into something, and it's like, what the hell? I'm too hungry to worry about it. But my point is, you don't have to do it just because it's legal. And now it's all Viva Las Vegas.
Viva la money.
They're having a conference call today. They're having a press conference today at 1:15 to talk about legalized wagering and Las Vegas and the Super Bowl, and we'll see what kind of questions they get and what kind of questions they ask. But there's a lot of hypocrisy there. It's baked into it.
Yeah, of course.
We've covered it. Thou shalt not do it, even though we're going to stuff our pockets with money. Hey, players, anybody who works for the league, you better not walk into that casino or you're going to get fired.
Yeah.
But we'll go ahead and take as much
better
money.
Better not even be on the app when you walk in our building and we'll ruin your life. Better not even be on the app while you walk in our building. I mean,
it's okay on the street. It's okay out on the street.
Right.
It's just when you walk through the door, you better close it because it undermines the integrity of the game. The whole thing. Really, really. I mean, we'd be foolish to ignore this plain sight dichotomy, this weird landmine that the NFL is trying to avoid. The minefield through which it's trying to walk is what I was trying to say. And they're not walking. They're just walking. They don't even know. We don't care. We can do it. Nobody cares. We'll do it. Nobody cares.
Yeah, you're right.
Do
nobody cares, baby.
We're going to stuff
Vegas,
our pockets
baby.
With money.
Vegas. Cares. That's right. Yeah. It's Vegas, baby.
Get everybody drunk.
We're going
to
have
lose
fun.
The money at the casinos.
Come on. We're going to have first Super Bowl ever in Vegas. I know, right? I mean, you know, I got some friends in some high places, high rollers, right? People that are way out of my stratosphere and bank account numbers and lifestyle and all that. They're all going to this game. They're all. Like, in fact, one of my friends who's a high roller is like, no, this is like, all the big dogs are coming in. They're all the ones that have been like, I spend $1 million here a year at this casino, blah, blah, blah. They're now like, hey, hotel that I always stay at or casino, I want tickets to the game. I want passes to all the cool things. So that's where I think it's going to be cool. I know the Super Bowl is a star-studded event, as always. We know that. But I think this is going to be even a tick up for the Super Bowl this year, where we're going to see some high, high, high-level superstars wanting to be there and be a part of this.
Question.
Yes.
Why is it a status symbol to be,
I don't know,
such a bad gambler that they give you everything for free? Like, you know?
And just
like,
so they can.
Oh, yes.
They,
oh, sorry. Yeah. Yes. We got Super Bowl tickets for you. We've got this for you. Here's a free steak. Here's a free room.
Well,
here's a free car.
Yeah. They're like, they look at a list and they're like, does this guy piss money away? You're VIP. He does.
Yeah.
He makes it rain all the time. VIP. I know. It is funny. It is. But I that's the sense I get, right? Did I read right yesterday that the Super Bowl tickets are already on pace or the highest they've ever been in the history of the sport to this point?
Wouldn't surprise me.
Right? And we're still, 12 days out. That's kind of impressive. But, yeah, I think that's only going to skyrocket because of the place and the two teams that are in it.
It's the perfect combination of things that you do where money is no longer money. When you go to a football game or a professional sporting event, money is no longer money. Right?
Yeah.
Like, oh, we're just having fun here. Whatever the tickets cost, we're having fun.
Right.
Whatever the hot dogs cost, we're having fun. Yeah. It doesn't matter. Oh, buy the program, buy this. It doesn't matter. You go to Las Vegas. Money isn't money anymore. It's not money anymore.
No, you're relegated to like, you're going
to
blow it. I'm
gone.
Blowing money, and I'm not even going to think about it. Here we go. You're right. It is funny how it just transforms you
money.
By there. You're right. You know,
Hide your money.
I hear my old nanny, my grandmother nanny, like, you know, when I asked for money at like the movie theaters, and she gave me like a dollar, right? When I was like 8 years old, and I was like, Nani, the popcorn cost $5. What? Oh my God, $5? What the hell is going on with the world? You know, she gives me the whole spiel. I don't know, Nani, but it's $5. Sorry. I mean, you know, but yeah, you don't have those thoughts when you're in Vegas.
Super Bowl 45, $15 for a bucket about that big of stale popcorn at what is now AT&T Stadium. I left the press box. I need popcorn. There's no popcorn in the press box. I snuck down in, and everything. And hey, a popcorn, $15. $15. What the hell? Oh, give me it. I want it anyway. And I took first bite. You know when it's stale?
Yeah.
Popcorn's
stale.
Yeah. It's got that weird
that
taste.
First bite,
that weird
like,
texture
oh,
to it.
Yeah.
Squeaky.
It's styrofoamish,
right? Yeah.
Right. Yes. I got you all
the way. I ate it anyway because I paid $15 for the stuff.
Hey,
I started to pay $15. I ate it. It's $15. Got to eat it.
Seriously, like, though, this Super Bowl, just looking at it, it's got some, like, cool stuff, right? I mean, it's the Chiefs. It's the 49ers. It's, you know, what do you want to say? The blue bloods of the NFL to a degree, right? You know, as far as that's concerned.
Blue Bloods,
have you right?
Come up with a new city?
No. You know what? I hear it sometimes in like
in
college. They like mention like the mainstay teams, the Michigans, the Texas, the Ohio States. Those
blue
are
bloods.
The Blue Bloods, right?
I thought you said Boo Bloods. Oh, I thought you said Boo Bloods.
No, I might have. I don't know. We'd have to check the tape there. But I just – between those two teams – it's a rematch of a Super Bowl that was extremely exciting a few years ago. It's one team that, you know, both teams have tons of superstar, but one's centered around the quarterback, who's the biggest star in our country, I think, in professional sports. And then the other one's got a bunch of stars.
Wow. I don't know about that anymore.
Well,
I don't know about
right.
anymore. I think 87's got. I think 87's eclipsed him.
Yeah, maybe. You're right. But so that's them, though. There they are, the biggest show. You're right. I mean, you're talking about Swift and Kelsey and Mahomes. You got the Niners with all those stars, and then the quarterback, where it's like, wait, he's not your normal superstar quarterback yet, and there's the questions, and is he a game manager? Is he more than that? Blah blah blah. And then you just get into the. I mean, Andy Reid and Kyle Shanahan, clearly the two best coaches in football over the last 5 to 6 years. I don't really think it's close. I think it's those two, and then there's a little bit of like another tier. You start there. But, I mean, and they got their own little rivalry working here. So I just think that the ticket prices, the atmosphere that week, we're both going to the game. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm really, really excited for next week. I really am.
$9,800 a seat.
Whoa.
70% more than last year.
I was going to say, that like blows it out of the water. I was going to say, like, I don't remember what it was last year, but I don't remember it anywhere in that stratosphere. Wow.
And it's not money. See, that's the thing.
Damn. It's money when you sell that damn thing.
The places where money isn't money.
Yeah.
Well, it's also money when you win gambling, but that's the thing. Good luck with that. If you that's it. One more thing before we continue the discussion about the game. If you're really good at gambling, they kick you out. If you're really bad at gambling, they give you the keys to the place. It's amazing. Yeah. Like, I'm going to come out and count cards. If I come out and count cards, you know how long I'm going to last in any casino?
Yeah,
I don't
know
how to begin to count cards. But just the fact that I've said it, I'm probably on some list now at every casino in America because I said the words counting cards. It's like saying bomb in an airport. Anyway, point that Matt Casey sent an email around yesterday. James Kaminsky, our buddy who works on Football Night in America,
right.
put some stuff together about
yep.
the Super Bowl. One thing that I saw that, and I guess I would, I don't know what number. We should have played this. Let's play this game. I don't know if you saw what I posted.
No.
I don't know if you saw the email.
I don't think I did.
Do you know how many starters, both teams, I want you to give me the number of starters that you think from Super Bowl 54 – who are still on the two teams 4 years later.
Okay.
How many starters?
Starters.
Not, Not specialists, starters.
Yeah.
How many starters?
Yeah.
Still on the team.
Because I have a little gauge, because I remember the other night I heard somebody say there was like 10 on each team, but that wasn't starters. So, and we're talking total number here, total number combined starters each team, right?
Both teams, total starters. Thanks for reading PFT, by the way.
Well, I'm going to say, I don't know where I missed this, but I'm going to guess there's somewhere between 10 and 12, like right in that range of like starters still. Because I rattled off a few from the Niners yesterday, like 5 or 6. And then the Chiefs, I'm rattled off another 5. I'm going to say 11 starters.
12 is the number.
Oh.
Well done.
Yeah.
12 is the number.
I had a little help,
Price
like I said.
Right. You didn't go over.
Yeah, all right.
Well
all
done.
Right. Good.
Yeah. But there they are.
Yeah.
There they are. Kyle Juszczyk, George Kittle, Deebo Samuel, Nick Bosa, Eric Armstead, Fred Warner for the 49ers, Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Chris Jones, Derek Nnadi, and Mecole Hardman, who left in free agency and was traded back this year. Not a starter now, was a starter then, back on the team now after being signed by the Jets in free agency, and just it just didn't work there. So well done with that graphic, too. I had no idea that they were even going to have that graphic. So well done.
Well
and
done.
Well done by you. I don't know. I never thought about it. But I would have thought it was more than 12.
Yeah.
But it just shows you
right. How
quickly things change in the NFL. Two teams getting together 4 years later, oh, boy, that's boring. First of all, it's not boring. I think it's exciting to have two teams getting together again so closely.
I do.
The Bills and the Cowboys did it back-to-back years. Cowboys-Steelers did it 3 years apart, 3-4 years apart. Super Bowl 10, Super Bowl 13, that would be 3 years.
Right.
So, and those two teams, probably a lot from 10 to 13, and in that era, a lot of the same guys getting together 3 years later.
Oh, definitely.
This time
personal.
Around, though.
Right.
Not many. Not many. And only one of the two quarterbacks. That's the thing. Jimmy Garoppolo
playing
for now for the Las Vegas Raiders. And the other thing we didn't mention yesterday, Peter King noted this in Football Morning in America. The Chiefs got to turn over their practice, or the Raiders, excuse me, have to turn over their practice.
I saw that.
The Chiefs.
Yeah.
For the whole week.
Right.
I mean, that's
the ultimate kick in the butt.
Of all
right
the teams
there.
In the AFC,
right.
Of all the teams in the AFC, you don't want to give your place to. It's the Chiefs.
Right.
And then you can take no solace in rooting for the 49ers because the Raiders hate the 49ers, too.
Exactly right.
It's the two worst teams.
It's a bad weekend.
Could have been in that Super Bowl.
You're right. It's a bad weekend for the Raiders. They got to hear about the Niners, their old Bay Area rival there. And then, of course, their longtime rival, the Chiefs. You're right. I didn't think about that. They're going to be ready for the Super Bowl to get over with in a hurry there.
Yeah, the only color that matters, though, as I said in the item that I wrote about it, is green for Mark Davis. He can. What's the gif of, I think it's from Zombieland, Woody Harrelson patting his eyes as he's crying with a bunch of money. That's what Mark Davis would be able to do as he's crying his way through Super Bowl 58 between the Chiefs and the 49ers. I mean, the 49ers and Raiders thing is so bad, they had to quit playing in the preseason.
Yeah,
you know, everybody loves the low-cost, no travel expenses games,
right.
Jets-Giants every year in the preseason. Nobody has to pay a dime to travel. And they can't – yeah, the fights were so bad. I mean, they were shooting people.
Yeah.
It was so bad between the fan bases, they had to stop playing in the preseason. That's how much acrimony there is between the Raiders and 49ers.
Yeah, a little crazy. Definitely, you know, battle of territory. Two big-time franchises where, yeah, the 49ers – they found a home in San Francisco, and Santa Clara built them a stadium. And, you know, it felt like Oakland, you know, felt like they were almost like the little brother who couldn't figure out how to get a new stadium, all of that. The Niners were the team with more success over the last 20 to 30 years. The Raiders were the team before that. That was like one of the beacons of success. So, yeah, it seemed to lead to a little bitterness between the fan bases for sure.
What game are we going to play in the casino? What are we going to play?
Well, you can never go wrong with blackjack. I mean, blackjack's always fun. I mean, that's always a good one to sit
you
there.
Like, I know, but I can imagine getting really frustrated because you're going to like hit on 8.
No, I'm not that guy. I'll play it by the book. I will. I want to win. I'm not one of these high rollers that just is going to throw cash around. If I'm there and sitting down with you, we'll work it and we'll try to do it the right way.
Do you what's your limit? What do you where do you hit? Where do you hit and stop?
Oh, I
don't play enough to have. I don't play
it's
enough.
It's been
to
so
know.
Long for
like,
me.
Like, is it 15?
Yeah,
you I hit on 15.
Yeah,
you
maybe 16.
You gotta hit on 15.
Yeah, you
Dealer
get to 16,
15,
17,
right?
You gotta start. You know, you gotta start thinking, right? And you gotta start looking at what they got showing and all that. But yeah, I'll probably make a few wrong moves, not out of just out of being rusty, but I think we should do that one night. That'll be fun.
Yeah, well, we'll see how fun it is. We'll see. And the other thing, too, is I remember when I went to Vegas the first time. They give you free drinks, and it's like, hey, this is great, free drinks.
Yeah
they're trying to get you drunk.
Yeah, so exactly right.
So you'll piss away everything you brought
free money.
Into the place.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. All right. I like it when coaches say things publicly that mesh with ideas that we weave into – our narratives from time to time. And one of the things that we say is there's benefit in having a tougher path to the Super Bowl. Last year, it was a little too easy for the Eagles, and they got there, and I don't think they were ready for the fight that they got from the Kansas City Chiefs. We just mentioned that yesterday.
Yeah.
The 49ers are going to be better off because they had a couple of games where they had to dig deep to win. And yeah, if you lose, you're done, but you survived. So now you're better off for it. Kyle Shanahan did a conference call yesterday with reporters, and he was asked if it helps having had a couple of gut check games to go into the Super Bowl. Here's what he had to say.
I mean, I always think when you go through stuff like this, it hardens you and prepares you for any situation. I mean, you want to be able to go through tons of games and be able to win games any way possible. And I always feel we're capable of winning a game any way possible, but it just hasn't gone that way this year totally. We've been able to win a bunch of games pretty easily, where the that fourth quarter isn't so stressful, and the ones that we lost, usually you could see that happening earlier before that too. So to get in some games like this, it's just good experience for our players and to go through it and to make sure to see how important it is to go through all four quarters, win or lose, that you're never out of it.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie, and fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I mean, he's absolutely right.
Yeah.
You've gone through the reps. You've gone through the practice of getting yourself in these moments where everybody has to find a way to hold it together when the pressure starts to mount. All right, we've been here. We've done this. We're okay. We're fine. Look at the difference between the last time they went to the Super Bowl and this time. And remember, last time we were there for the 27-10 victory over the Vikings. That was when Jimmy Garoppolo served up three interceptions to Eric Kendricks, who only caught one of them. Freaked out Kyle. They started to run the ball. The next week against the Packers, he was Bob Greasy in that game. Threw the ball, I believe, eight times. Completed six for the entire game. They let Jimmy Garoppolo throw the ball again in Super Bowl 54. We're up 10 points, 7 minutes to play, and it all fell apart. But they weren't ready, in part, for that, oh, crap, here we are.
Right.
Fourth quarter, what do we do? And the Chiefs had been through, what was the path that year?
That was the comeback games, all the comebacks.
The
24-0.
Texans, they were down
17-7 to the Titans.
Down
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly right.
Yeah, and they were down 10 points twice in that game in the first half to the Titans and came back and won. But, yeah, that was the 20 – they were down 24-0
right.
in the first half to the Texans. Remember that moment where Bill O'Brien could have gone for the touchdown and delivered the dagger, because I think 28 would have been too much to come back from, and went for a field goal instead and made it 24.
Right.
And once you have resurrected your season, once you've accepted that you're just done and let's just go do our thing, I feel like that there's a cleansing aspect to that that just makes you impervious to any of the other, like, we're good now. We're good. We're already dead. We're already dead. Let's just go play.
Yeah.
Our season already should have ended. Let's just go do our thing. And there's a looseness to that.
I agree.
That you don't have if it all comes easily and then you get yourself into a spot where things get tight and you're like, what is this feeling?
Right.
Wait a minute. We're supposed to be on the sideline with our shoulder pads off by now. We're still playing in this game? What are you talking about?
Yeah.
I think there's something real about that, which gives the 49ers a better shot to win than they maybe had 4 years ago.
Yeah, no, I hear you there. You know, I think you hit on the Eagles last year, right? It was so easy. And A.J. Brown had that comment, right, that I think he said, like, late in the game, he looked up in the scoreboard and went, wow, like, we could lose this game. It was the first time he had had those feelings or thoughts in a while, right? And of course, they didn't perform to their utmost in that end-of-the-game situation as compared to Kansas City, who had been in those situations a lot. So there is some value to this. And we know this was a question about the 49ers before we even got to the playoffs. So they've answered the bell in that department. The team, they're all going to believe in the quarterback, that if they're down, that he can bring them back. They believe in Shanahan and his ability to readjust, you know, figure out a new attack, game plan or whatever on the fly to come back and win a football game. I think that's where they're different than the last Super Bowl. I'm not sure they're as good a team in totality, but I do think there's more belief in their quarterback that he can do some special things and they can do it
yes.
that way, right? I think that's the big thing, right, yeah. Mike? But the big question with the Niners, it's still, right? And this is, to me, here's the flip side. You said all the good things. I agree with you on a lot of it. But the flip side a little to this is the 49ers, did they peak too early, right? They certainly don't look as good as they did when we were gushing about them in week 12 and 13 and 14 and going, oh, my gosh, like you were saying, just chalk it up, put them in the Super Bowl. Everybody's playing for second, right? I mean, I was right there with you. They looked like they were on a different level than everybody else in football. Ravens game came, kind of knocked their swagger, you know, out of their walk a little bit, and they haven't been as dominant, right? And that's where, you know, the side of, yeah, we can win close games, but also the side of, man, we're not really playing our best football. Did we peak too early? And, man, this team we're playing this week, wow, we can't not play our best ball against this crew here, right? And I think that there could be some doubt in the 49ers right now as far as how well they're playing too. I think that could go both ways in this conversation, especially with Mahomes and the Chiefs, you know, on the horizon, and you know how magical they are if you're in another locker room playing them.
You mentioned the quarterback of the 49ers. I mean, what a contrast. They had kind of the lovable meathead in Jimmy Garoppolo that nobody trusted to go out there and seize the day. And then you've got this boy next door who's like I'm trying to think of the best way to say it that's not going to get a one-minute clip that's going to get on Twitter and we're going to get dragged all day. But he just doesn't seem like the guy that's going to come and, you know, beat you up and take your lunch money.
I hear you.
Right?
Right.
He seems innocent. He seems innocuous.
Oh, totally.
He seems harmless.
Right.
And then he will kill you. Right? I'm going to tell you during the break what I'm thinking of. I ain't saying it on the air. But I'm going to tell you during the break what I'm thinking of when I think of Brock Purdy. But he's capable. And the other side about it is, he seems like the nicest guy in the world.
Yep.
And there's this weird media fight between the pro-Brock Purdy mafia that wants to put him in the Hall of Fame, for crying out loud, based on two seasons. And then the other side is like, he sucks. It's like, well, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Neither of you are right.
Right.
The guy's a work in progress.
Right.
This is his opportunity. If he's going to step onto the biggest stage and thrive, this is it, because he's going against Patrick Mahomes. He's getting a chance to do something that Tom Brady and nobody else has really done to Patrick Mahomes. Joe Burrow did it because they left a crack open when it was 21-3 in the AFC Championship. But that's the universe of guys who can handle Patrick Mahomes in the highest stakes of games. It's Tom Brady, who did it twice, and Joe Burrow, who did it once. What's Brock Purdy going to do?
I know.
And that's the thing that makes this game more intriguing than the one from 4 years ago, the Brock Purdy factor. What's he going to do in this moment? And nobody knows.
Right. He doesn't look like he should be in the same conversation with those guys, to your point. Brady and Burrow versus Mahomes, like that. Wait, Brock Purdy, right? Right. But we know he's playing better in a higher level than Jimmy Garoppolo was when they were in the Super Bowl. But yeah, you see him here. I mean, this looks like my 11th grade social studies teacher walking into school for the day. Like, oh, hey, Mr. Purdy, how are you? He's like the young new teacher in school that everybody likes. And, you know, everybody's like, oh, wait, we got a cool young teacher. He can talk to us and he likes sports. That's what he looks like right there. And he's like, all right, class, you know, get your books out. He does not look like superstar take over the game quarterback. And that's the interesting thing. So there's that's where I was kind of getting at. There's the confidence of the Niners in Brock Purdy, but there's also like base level thoughts from friends of mine or anybody else close to me, right? Base level, not like you're in the football type of people. Brock Purdy's not beating Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl, right? I think there's a lot of people out there right now that just boil it down to that. You know, then you take into account, man, the Chiefs have found their gleam, their glow, whatever. The AFC, we know how good the damn AFC is. They dominate the Dolphins. You know, they control Buffalo in Buffalo. The Ravens are the team that took over the spot for the 49ers where we're like, kind of looks like everybody's playing for second. And they're at home. It's the Ravens. It's their year. What controlled by Kansas City throughout the football game? And there you got the Niners where it's like, woo, barely got by Green Bay, got outplayed, got lucky, right? Woo, barely got by Detroit. Got outplayed a lot of the game. That coach over there made some really dumb decisions. Thank God he let us in. Woo, we just got by. And now you got to go play Mahomes and the Chiefs. So that's where I find the psychology interesting, Mike. Maybe I'm wrong, but I do find it intriguing.
No, you're right. You're right. You know? Part of the problem is we spend too much time together. We start thinking alike. We pick the same damn scores for the games. I mean, it's crazy. But. The betting market for this game already is nuts. It opened at 2.5 as the 49ers being favored.
Right.
Yesterday morning, it was down to San Francisco -1.
Right.
I checked last night. It had crept back to San Francisco -1.5. Now it's back to San Francisco -2.
Wow.
Like it's not a huge swing, but isn't that weird how it's moving so quickly? And like people are saying, ooh, I like that. Like people have their preconceived notions, and they see something that they think is value, and they jump on it. And I assume that's what's making the line move. I don't think somebody's sneezing in the room where they set the lines and the needle's moving around. Something's causing it to move, and it started off a lot of action on the Chiefs at 49ers -2.5, and now you're getting a lot of action on the 49ers at -1 and -1.5, and they pushed it back to 2. So this is the perfect kind of game because we really don't know what we're going to get until we get there. And the last time I had that feeling was Super Bowl 19, and, of course, the 49ers blew out the Dolphins in that game. So hopefully it won't turn out the same way. I want to play something from your buddy Kyle about Brock Purdy because Purdy, they don't win that game without Purdy on Sunday because Purdy made some decisions to freelance and run the ball. And he picked up big chunks of yardage, and that sustained drives, fueled drives, and ultimately helped the comeback. Here's Purdy talking – or not Purdy. Here's Shanahan talking about Brock Purdy's ability to avoid sacks.
It's so huge. I mean, you always want a guy who can sit there and get the ball to the right people every single time and find that hole in the defense and make those throws standing in there and being accurate. But that's not always the case. And sometimes it's impossible to get to number three with how someone's beat and stuff like that. And when you do have a quarterback who's got a knack for when to do it, and he doesn't do it a ton and just give up on open plays, he's kind of got a natural ability of when to give up on the play, when to make a guy miss, when to turn it off schedule. And no matter what happens, he gives you a chance. And everyone knows, everyone saw it, but those plays he made with his feet last night in the second half, that was a problem and for the defense. And they had some good coverages on, and he kept the chains moving and also found a way to get some explosives doing it too.
You know, Chris, and there's his dad looks just like Dan Loria, the father from the Wonder Years. Anyway, that's what he wanted in Trey Lance. He got what he wanted in Trey Lance, and he didn't even know he was getting it.
Right.
The guy, because I think he finally embraced the idea that you need to have somebody who can run your offense the way you want it to be run, but when things go sideways, he can do something with his legs.
Yeah, right.
One of the main reasons why we both believe he didn't give a second look at Patrick Mahomes in 2017, because I don't want a guy that's going to be running all over the place. And it's not like and I think he trusts Purdy to not overdo it.
Yes.
It is the true break glass in event of emergency. If there's nothing else there, I'm going to run. I'm going to make the throw. I'm going to run the offense. I'm going to do exactly what you tell me to do. But then when this happens and I got to squirt through, I'm going to go.
Yeah.
And until they account for that, it's going to be there. And you know what's going to happen, Chris? Once they account for that, then it's going to be easier for him to throw the ball.
Definitely.
Because they're going to be allocating defensive resources to spying him and containing him to take that away, which is going to make it easier to get guys open down the field.
100%. You know, he continues to show ways to beat defenses, that's for sure. You said it right. Shanahan wants a guy that just, hey, digest, take all the information in. I got a million plays, a million rules. If you can just listen to me, we'll be okay. We'll be okay on offense, right? But he's not going to be right every play of every game. And that's where he needs a quarterback every now and then. You know, get out of jail free card. Okay, wait, I didn't call the right play against this defense. You know, Aaron Glenn got me. He tricked me here. He's good, too. He's a good coach. He's getting paid a lot of money. Brock, help me out. Right? And that's where Brock came through. It's where Mahomes helps Andy Reid and Matt Nagy, of course. And that's what a great quarterback does, is they can find the blend of system and backyard and know how to not overdo it in any of one of those departments. And maybe Mahomes sways a little more backyard, Purdy sways a little more system. Okay, that's cool. But there's obviously a blend there. And I think that's the most important thing. And, you know, to your point with Shanahan, and I don't think he'd be mad at me for sharing this, right? Purdy, I think that's the thing that's amazed him from the get-go, is this sixth sense of like, wow, how did you feel the pocket there? Ooh, how did you know when to run there? Ooh, you know, how did you know that guy was going to come open right there? I can remember in the early days of Purdy, those are the things Shanahan used to say to me. Like, dude, he makes decisions sometimes and I'm on the field and I look at it and go, I don't even know how he got to that decision that quickly. Like, that's where Purdy is kind of next level, and I think really impressed Shanahan, Brian Greasy, quarterback coach and company, and of course why a big part of the reason why they're in the Super Bowl.
And with all the media obligations they will have next week, and with all the media who will be covering them who aren't the usual cluster of folks who are trying to strike the right balance and not piss Kyle off with annoying headlines or annoying questions. I sure hope somebody at some point asks Purdy and Shanahan about the comments
Seriously.
That Brock Purdy made 2 weeks ago that everybody has freaking ignored, that Kyle wanted Tom Brady this year, not Brock Purdy. No one has asked. How can no one have asked Kyle Shanahan or Brock Purdy about Purdy saying on the record, this wasn't a report with unnamed sources, Purdy said on the record, Kyle told me, if we can get Tom Brady, he's the starter this year. And Purdy's like, what the hell? I'm the last guy taken in the draft. I'll deal with it. Okay, fine. It's Tom Brady. Kind of pissed him off at some level, but he's got to deal with it. What other choice does he have? Demand a trade after 1 year? And it's like it never happened.
Yeah.
It came out 2 weeks ago today. It went unnoticed for a week until Michael David Smith managing editor of PFT noticed it and started asking the writers, like, have I lost my mind? Do you guys see this? Like, have you seen anything about this? And it's just been ignored. And it's almost
amazing.
Like the 49ers beat writers are giving us the middle finger, or me particularly, by not asking it.
Yeah.
Kyle was available 3 times last week and they never asked it. Brock was available 2x last week and they never asked it. I mean, what the hell are you people doing? Ask the goddamn question! So hopefully they will next
week. You're a psycho. You need to find a psychologist on the couch, okay? You did. I will repeat that claim again.
From working with you, as I told you last week,
it's hard
I have PTSD from walking into the bathroom while you were on the toilet. That's why.
Oh, I know. Oh, that was a horrible moment. But it is amazing. It is amazing that that question has not been asked, or that the whole conversation has not been made bigger news. I think that points to a healthy relationship between Shanahan, the 49ers, and the local media. That's exactly, I mean, you're right. That's exactly what it points to.
Here's the healthy.
Yeah.
This is the healthy relationship.
That's where you need to come in. You need to go over there during Super Bowl press conference and be the guy that does it, right? Because he's obviously told them, don't ask me the question. So then Florio can write more annoying headlines. Don't ask me it. And he's got them on lockdown, so you might have to go in there and save the day,
You and I go. You come with
great.
Me. Let's go. Let's roll in there. Let's roll in there with, like, sunglasses and chains after we lose all of our money at the tables. Let's roll in there about 4 or 5 drinks in. Let's go into one of those press conferences and let's ask him. I'll do it.
That would be great.
But here's the thing. This is what's and I think Peter King have this in his column? Here it is. It's one of the top paragraphs. 24-7 after 2 quarters, the Lions are beating the 49ers. Purdy looked very much like the 262nd pick of the draft, tentative, jumpy, making wrong reads.
Right.
When I went into the media men's room at the half, one urinal-using press box wag said, who's got odds on the Niners opening day quarterback next year, Purdy or Kirk Cousins? That was going to be the narrative. If they turn 24-7 into 34-13.
Yeah.
They're done. It's over. 3 picks for Brock Purdy. The fact that he was ready to go with Brady this year is going to create a mess about what he's going to do next year. And now that's over. No matter what happens in the Super Bowl, although if he has, you know, a night like he had on Christmas against the 49ers, although one of them was his fault, but it was just bad luck, bad bounces. But if he has a meltdown in the Super Bowl, maybe it's back on the table. But that's what makes that angle so newsworthy, because we know Kyle's already been in that neighborhood. And what's it going to take to get him back in that neighborhood? And what's it going to take to get him out of that neighborhood forever?
Yeah.
Winning the Super Bowl would probably – I'd like to think winning a Super Bowl will do
it. Right.
But, you know, if they had lost badly on Sunday, that's why that story is important. It's not some weird little curiosity.
No.
It's something that's got ramifications moving forward potentially.
Yeah, I think so. Agreed. And I think, you know, I think there's still people out there that question, you know, a little bit what we saw on Sunday and big moments and things like that. Can he take over? Can he do that? Now, he did a pretty damn good job against the Lions the other day. But as we know, the Lions were not a good defense this year, right? They statistically were, you know, bottom third in football. So that's where they were. And I think that's where some of football still questions Brock Purdy. You know, he answered some yesterday, but you're right. I mean, listen, if they lost the Packers the way he played in that game, I mean, he was horrible against the Packers. If they lost that game and went out, there's going to be a lot of conversations along the lines of what you're talking about. If he goes to the Super Bowl here and doesn't play well and interceptions, the offense doesn't get going, there's going to be questions again, too, because I think, too, what the NFL community is and even them, like the fans are divided on Brock Purdy. I think the NFL community is somewhat divided, too. Like, he's a good player. We know that. But I think the questions of, like, wait, is he the guy that can beat Baltimore? Can he go on the road and beat Cleveland and that defense? Oh, no, he didn't do it. Wait, what about when Burrow and the Bengals come to town? Oh, no, he didn't beat them either. Right. So I think those are questions still there about, like, ooh, when it comes to the upper echelons, the cream of the crop teams in the NFL, and Shanahan's tricks don't work as much like we saw in the first half of this last game, and he can't open things up, is Brock Purdy going to be able to make a few plays to get it going, jumpstart it, bring a team back that way? I think that's what people, you know, question, and I think they'll probably still question, because the Lions with the fourth down, you know, going for it and them not being a great defense, I don't think the people that don't want to believe in Brock Purdy aren't going to totally believe in him yet just because it was the Lions. I guess that's what I'm trying to say there.
It's just an amazing dynamic that I can't remember the last time we had a quarterback on a team that was a Super Bowl caliber team that there were so many widely varying opinions about. And there's enough ammunition there to make the argument one way or the other, right? I mean, that's the best kind of case to take to court, where there's enough there where you can make a strong argument for and against. There's enough there that you could get a couple of lawyers on either side of this thing and make compelling arguments for putting him in the Hall of Fame right now. Rattle off stat after stat after stat, right, after stat, all these great things he's done. And then you could say, well, what about this game? What about that game? What about this moment? What about that moment? And, you know, the best news for the 49ers is, on Sunday, the last time we've seen him play, he gave us some of the best stuff we've seen in the highest possible pressure scenario.
Right.
But first half was not,
right,
was not the kind of stuff that's going to get you to Canton. No. So we'll see. But that's, you know, that's why when you're talking about one of the all-time greats on one side, and a guy that is still unknown, reasonable minds may differ on what he currently is and what he's going to be. The other guy, there is no debate. There is no dispute. There is no question that he's one of the all-time greats. It creates an imbalance that the 49ers are going to have to make up,
yeah,
somehow. And they almost did 4 years ago,
right,
when Jimmy Garoppolo, the lovable meathead, was playing quarterback. It's going to be easier to make up the difference this time, but can they do it? We're going to take a break and talk about some Chiefs issues that are still percolating based upon a so-so regular season that became a great postseason. We'll do that next year on PFT Live.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.